I would like to pass on a word that I'm sure if we all really measured up to it, and the speaker particularly, then the blessing that has commenced this year will be continued under the good hand of our God. Would you please turn to the Gospel of Mark? The Gospel of Mark and chapter 10. We remember the incident with the young man who came running to the Lord Jesus, and it's recorded in the various records that looking on him, Jesus loved him. But then there was a sad result. He went away sorrowful because he had great possessions, all that was in his favour. Verse number 26 of Mark chapter 10. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus, looking upon them, said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible." Now the 14th chapter of the same gospel. I want to speak a little on prayer this afternoon, and here we have the words of our Lord himself. 14th chapter of Mark's Gospel, and we read in verse number 34, "And he said unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him." And you will have noticed his prayer, I'm sure. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt." And back now to chapter 9. The 9th chapter. This is the incident of them coming down from the mountain, and with the man, with the boy possessed with the demon, in great distress, he brought him to the disciples, and they could not cast him out. So we read in verse number 23. "Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." Now down to verse number 28. "And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. And they departed thence and passed through Galilee, and could not tell any man that should know it." Now, the question that the disciples asked here, who then can be saved? Literally, I believe, who then is able to be saved? If this young man with all that was, as it were, in his favour, so excellent in every way, what hope would others have? And the answer of the Lord, of course, was immediate, as we've read, with men it is impossible. And no matter what that young man may have or what the disciples may have, as we were reminded so forcefully and beautifully this morning, this work of regeneration is one of the miracles that God is able to bring about through the just resting in his promise and receiving what he is able to give. And with men, indeed impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. And I would suggest to you that that is the basis of all prayer, prevailing prayer, prayer that gets results. And we've been reminded of that just this afternoon in the report, that a man was able to say that someone in Toowoomba must have been praying, and where the saints are praying, as has been evidenced recently, God will come in and bless. And so the requisite is that we really believe that God is able. Nothing is impossible with him. You remember Abraham, and when the message was brought to them regarding the birth of Isaac, and Sarah laughed. And the question asked was, why she laughed? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too marvellous, too wonderful, too singular, something that's outstanding, unique in every way? Those words are used in translation of the same word. And we read of Abraham that he considered not his own body now dead, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb, but was strong in faith. And I believe that the real thought there is that he was empowered by faith, and he needed to be. As good as dead, it was something that was beyond consideration. But being strong in faith, empowered by faith, and giving glory to God. And so, that was the question that was asked of God himself, not only of Abraham, but of every one of us here this afternoon. And that is for our dear young people. As you read the scriptures, no matter to whom a question or a statement, a question was asked or a statement was made in this word of God, it's for you, it's for me as individuals. The Lord Jesus said to those Sadducees who came to him with the hypothetical question about the resurrection and the woman who had the various husbands under the Jewish economy, who shall she be in the resurrection? Ye do err, not knowing the power of God, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. And then he said, have you not read what God said unto you? When he said, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the living, of the dead, but the living. But the thought that I wanted to emphasize was this. Now that question was asked, and the statement was made to Moses thousands of years before, but the Lord Jesus said, have you not read what God said unto you? And that's the way we must approach the word of God. And the question comes to each one of us this afternoon, is anything too hard for the Lord? We remember Jeremiah, as his cousin Hanamel came to him and said, buy my ground, buy my field that is in Anathoth. And Jeremiah, we read, he had the documents prepared, it was sealed, it was witnessed, he weighed the money, everything is so methodical and correct. And after it was all done, then he went into the presence of the Lord and he said, ah, Lord God, there's nothing too hard for thee. By thy great power and outstretched arm thou hast made the heavens and the earth, and there is nothing too hard for thee. And you know, God just turned that right around. I think that probably Jeremiah was thinking that what would be said, this prophet of doom, stampeding the people so that they'll sell their possessions for very little, and there he is buying them up. And God said to Jeremiah, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? And you know, he'll ask you that question, and he'll ask me that question. It's a great thing to believe and to be able to say very stoutly that all things are possible to God, but when we come to prayer, when we are really exercised about a thing, do we really believe that that is as it is, with no exceptions? Is anything too hard for the Lord, Jeremiah? And that's the question he would ask us this afternoon. And so we could think of so many places and so many people and so many incidents. Then we think of Mary. We've already had reference to her today. And as that terrific annunciation was made, how can these things be? Physically impossible? And maybe I just offer a suggestion. How could this happen to me? A perpetual reproach. But what was the answer? The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee. Not a tremendous influence or energizing or added ability, but God the Spirit will come upon thee, and with God all things are possible. Full stop. No exceptions. And the power of the highest shall overshadow you. That takes care of the rest of it. If the power of the highest overshadows us, we don't see anything else. There are no circumstances or difficulties or impossibilities if we are conscious of the shadow of the Almighty. And Mary's response, behold the handmaid of the Lord. She didn't understand. Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. All things are possible with God. What a difference with Elijah. I'm sure my brethren from Harristown will know that I've said this before. Going through Young's Concordance on one occasion, and the word I was checking up on, and just down below I saw the word Elijah, and I just glanced at it, and I saw something that was quite unusual with Young. He has a great comment on Elijah. And what is the comment? Elijah, the greatest man that Israel ever produced. He was too. The most romantic character that Israel ever produced. And possibly he was that too. But what does God say? James chapter 5. Elijah was a man like passions as we are. These men were not supermen. They were men of like passions as we are. But they believed that with God all things are possible. And it says of this man that he prayed earnestly. Literally, in his prayer, he prayed, and that's the secret of it all. Elijah the Tishbite, he comes on the scene like a comet, stands before King Ahab, that wicked king. He said, by the word of the Lord God of Israel, before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years, except by according to my word. In other words, unless I announce it. And that's exactly what he did 3.5 years later. But we get the secret when we go over to James, don't we? He prayed earnestly. In his prayer, he prayed. Nothing else was occupying his mind. His mind didn't wander as mine does. That it might not rain, and it rained not by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again. God sent the rain, and the earth gave forth her fruit. What a different man, but the same exactly, the realization that all things are possible with God. See him at Jordan, as he and Elisha stand by the brink, and he rolls his mantle and he smites the water, and it says the water went hither and thither, turbulent Jordan, and they too went over. Remember too how when Elisha came back, same thing, same result. But I never forgot the time when I really read that account. And it says, they too went over on dry ground. Now we know what it's like when there's been a flood or something, or even perhaps when the tide goes out, and the ground is far from dry. If it's a sandy bottom, then it could be firm, but it doesn't say it was firm ground, it says it was dry ground. And I don't think there was much sand in muddy Jordan anyway. They too went over on dry ground. And if you like to trace it through, you'll find that that word in the original always means that. We're reminded about the children of Israel crossing Jordan into the land, and it says there that how the ark stood in the midst of Jordan, and it came up out of the midst of Jordan, and when the priests lifted up the soles of their feet on dry ground, dry land, the same word exactly. And that's like God's promises, and that's like his answer to prayer. All things are possible with God. You remember Naaman. And the message came from Elisha. Go wash in Jordan 7 times and thy flesh shall come again and you will be healed. Finally he was persuaded to go. He dipped 7 times in Jordan and his flesh came again and he was healed. Is that what it says? No, it isn't. It says the flesh came as the flesh of a little child. That's the way God answers his promises. That's the way God answers prayer when we believe. There's nothing impossible with God. It's always better than we could possibly imagine. Oh, the majesty of the power of our God. But then we read in chapter 14. And here we see our blessed Lord in Gethsemane. And he's prostrate on the ground, and he's praying the same prayer that he, as it were, put before his disciples. That encouragement he gave them to believe that there was nothing impossible with God. And he said, Abba Father, all things are possible with thee. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, same word, but not as I will, but as thou wilt. All things are possible, nevertheless, not my will. God is not only omnipotent, there's nothing he cannot do, but he's omniscient, all seeing, all knowing, all wise, and his power is always perfectly harmonized with his wisdom, and his wisdom with his power. He knows what we don't know. He sees what we don't see. And so our prayers are answered not only in the majesty of his power, but in the wisdom of his power. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable minds of never-failing skill, he treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. The majesty of his power and the wisdom of his power. We think of Joseph down in Egypt, wrongfully accused, wrongfully cast into prison, And he's in that condition for 13 years. From 17 to 30. And those are very, very essential years in the life of anyone. They're the years when deep impressions are made. They're the years when character is moulded. And it seemed to get worse and worse. And then finally there's the butler. And as we read not only the scriptures but these Eastern history and records, these men who lived near the king, they often were greatly favoured. And if ever there was someone who could really have helped Joseph, naturally speaking, it was the butler. And what's Joseph's request? You can almost hear the pleading in his voice as he tells him of the circumstances that had brought him there. Remember me when it is well with thee. But the butler forgot him. And Joseph was there for another 2 years. No wonder the scripture says the iron entered into his soul. But it also says, until the time came, the word of the Lord tried him. And then, of course, the circumstances of Pharaoh's dream, as Joseph interpreted, or rather, but reminded Pharaoh of the interpretation that Joseph had given of his dream. And he tells Pharaoh about him, and the scripture uses such wonderful terms there, doesn't it? Pharaoh sent and loosed him, made him lord over all his house, ruler of all his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his senators wisdom. The Lord's timing. And of course it was the salvation of his people. Jacob went down into Egypt. We must indeed thoroughly grasp and really believe in our innermost being that there's nothing impossible with God. Our God is able, the three men in the fiery furnace, our God is able to deliver us, but they recognise that he might not choose to. And even if he doesn't, nevertheless we will not bow down to your image nor serve your gods. I guess that was one experience as they looked at it. It would not be without a shudder. A horrible prospect. But as the king rises up, he said, didn't we cast in three bound? Yes, O king. But I see four. Loose. Walking in the midst of the fire, and the fourth is like the Son of God. And when they came out, their hair wasn't singed. Their coats, their clothes were not scorched. The majesty of his power, there was not even the smell of fire on them. That's our God. Our God is able. But his power is always harmonized by his wisdom. A brother was in very serious distress, greatly afflicted. And a man said to him, another brother said to him, do you see any reason for this sore trial? He answered, no, but I'm as well satisfied as if I could see 1,000, for my Father's will is the perfection of reason. Here's a widow, stricken, standing beside a casket. And she said, there lies my only earthly comfort, my ever-loving, faithful husband, companion, and comfort. But I must not forget that there also is the will of God, and that is perfect love. My brother and sister, how near do we live to those? Our God is able, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. He's omnipotent. There's nothing he cannot do. All things are possible with God. He's omniscient. There's nothing he doesn't know. Seeing and knowing, all wise. He's omnipresent. Lo, I am with you always. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, very, very briefly, in the 9th chapter, why could not we cast him out? Haven't we all asked that question? Why? Why don't we see the blessing? Why don't we see the power of God working? Well, if we read Matthew's account of it, the answer comes very quickly, because of your unbelief. And then he asked the question too, as they were in the house. We didn't read it. He said to them, what was it that you disputed with on the way or in the way? And they held their peace, because they had been disputing who should be the greatest. He had said to them, he that will be greatest among you, let him be your minister. And he that will be chief or first, let him be your servant. And ever he practiced that in his own life. I am among you. You call me Master and Lord, and so I am. If I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. I am among you as one that serveth. But there's another cause. This kind cannot come forth but by prayer and fasting. Now, the word for prayer here, we know there are many different words that are translated prayer in the New Testament. We're not going into them. Really means a pouring out. A pouring out. Have we ever had any experience like that? You know, the Apostle Paul, he wrote to Timothy, he said, I am now ready to be offered. It's the same word. I am ready to be poured out. But not only in death, he wrote to the Philippians, yea, and if I be poured out on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. He was ready to be spent and give himself wholly for them. The Lord Jesus said, the Son of Man came not to be ministered, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Now, that's not the usual word in the original translated life. It's usually translated soul. To give his all, himself. Surely that's linked up with Isaiah 53. He poured out his soul into death. Prayer, pouring out, and fasting. Fasting is only really a denial of normal, natural desires, which some things are good in themselves. Athletes, we think of what they give up, what they're willing to just refrain from to excel in their chosen sport, whatever it might be. I wonder what we are prepared to let go for the sake of Christ, the sake of the gospel, that the saints may be built up. This sort cannot come forth but by prayer and fasting. Beloved brethren and sisters, I don't stand here this afternoon to say, now this is the formula, you follow me, this is what I do. But we believe that God is able. We acknowledge, we've had seen it so often, his wisdom, that we cannot doubt it. His, not only my will, but not my way. Our way would very often be disastrous. But that which we need to experience, each one this afternoon, is that which the father of the boy sets forward with tears. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. The majesty of his power. The wisdom of his power. the limit of his power. Maybe it's in me. Let us be before the Lord with tears. Help thou my unbelief. Amen.